It's Thursday, May 27, 2021. I'm Cameron Weir, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online, since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. As expected, Democrats were unable to find 10 Republicans to agree to for a bipartisan commission to look into the January 6th insurrection, proving once again that unlike most millennials and Gen Zers, the GOP is not giving any thought to going by these days. CNN's Jim Acosta reported that sources close to Donald Trump say he is thinking about running for president again in 2024 in order to avoid going to prison, which is ironic considering that jailing him would actually make America great again. The communist Chinese government is criticizing President Biden for calling on intelligence agencies to investigate the origins of the coronavirus pandemic, saying some people in the United States completely ignore facts and science. Well, sure, China, sticks and stones can break our bones, but unleashing a deadly lab-created virus, well, that can hurt us. The QAnon shaman, Jake Angeli, is making renewed pleas for a pretrial release based on a claim that he stopped a fellow insurrectionist from stealing a muffin from a Capitol break room. Well, it's a good thing his attempt to overthrow our democracy prevented that from happening, right? Social media was abuzz over a video that appeared to show Ted Cruz eating a fly on Fox News. The video was later revealed as a fake after the fly demanded a retraction. History was made yesterday when Lorenz Descartes was named as the first female president ever in the history of Paris's prestigious Louvre Museum. With the move, the Louvre will no longer focus on the Romantic, Baroque, or Minimalist periods, and instead focus on hers. This morning, the Motion Picture Academy announced that the next Academy Awards will be held on March 22, 2022, just in case you were wondering what you won't be watching on March 22nd. Singer John Davis, who was one of the voices behind the lip-syncing duo Milli Vanilli, has died. No word on whether it will be Milli or Vanilli's photo displayed at the wake. NBC announced that Kelly Clarkson's talk show will replace The Ellen Show in its time slot when the show ends its 19-season run in 2022. Sure, Kelly can replace Ellen's time slot, but she can't replace her in our hearts, said no one who ever worked for Ellen DeGeneres. One of the revelations from the now-released Friends reunion special on HBO Max was that Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer admitted they had developed feelings for each other while working on the show, but didn't act on them because they were both in relationships. It's too bad neither was on a break at the time. Now let's send it over to the TMI Cast and Crew Roundtable. Stay safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by some of my TMI Daily crew. Let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. Let's start with you, Pete.
I'm just so excited that I'm this close to being in swimsuit shape for next week.
Mm-hmm. Good job, baby. You're looking sexier each day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Danny, how are you?
Hey, everybody. I'm doing great. It's Thursday, and today's sandwich is part of LA Sandwich Week is Porto's Pan con Lechon, which is slow roasted pork. It is delicious, available at any one of the Porto's locations all around Southern California. And as Joe would say, today is also National Grape Popsicle Day. You probably have one way in the back of the freezer. Sunscreen Protection Day, because, you know, it's always good to remember to put on that sunscreen. And Nothing to Fear Day. Conquer that fear. Don't be afraid. Nothing holds you back except your own self.
Danny, are you in Rachel and Monica's apartment?
Yes, I am. I'm babysitting right now.
Can you afford it?
I'm sorry?
Can you afford it? Because I know
they have it's rent controlled. Oh, good.
Tanya, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Ooh, you mentioned Porto's. A medianoche sounds really good. Like, I think that's my favorite Porto's. But yeah, who comes up with all these, what day it is? Does anybody know where that comes from?
Some jerk.
Well, this one was really about supporting small businesses.
Calendar people, like people that own calendar companies, you know, mm-hmm. like kind of put them in there, I'm assuming. I don't know. Maybe we should research that. Let's look into that.
Somebody who clearly has a lot of free time.
I know. And Elizabeth, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Every day is SPF Awareness Day when you're as pale as me. Wear that sunscreen, everybody.
Okay, well, let's start tonight's show. In a normal year, the Memorial Day weekend usually marks the kickoff of the summer movie season, when the studios release their biggest tentpole films with the hopes of huge returns on their investments. With that said, for every box office hit like Star Wars, E.T., or The Lion King, there are several times more Lone Rangers, John Carters, or Battleships that lose upwards of $50 million or more for the studios. So tonight we thought we could do two things. Preview the summer movie season and test our abilities in order to determine, are we smarter than a studio executive? But first, what factors do you think determine, firstly, what movies get scheduled for the release of the summer season? And what factors do you think determine whether a movie is going to be successful or not? So let's start with you, Danny.
Right now, not to bring up bad memories, but I just thought of our summer blockbuster movie, Bloodbath, and Queen Elizabeth, and yeah, my mind went there. Sorry.
Well, it's not my fault everybody was fucking wrong.
I think you need big titles, big stars. You need something that's going to make you want to go into the theater and grab that popcorn, those nachos, those drinks. It's usually an action-packed movie. That's why movies like Jurassic Park and Independence Day have done fairly well. Something for the kids because they are on vacation. You really don't want to put something dramatic because they usually tend not to, you know, be heavily viewed during the summer unless you put it towards the end of the summer. But you want something that people are going to like and remember and talk about for the next few weeks, because generally summer movies have a steady audience throughout those 2-3 months.
Okay, Tanya, what about you? What do you think?
I think everything that Danny said, and also something that's usually a sequel to something or a franchise where they have that built-in audience that's coming back to see how the story is going to progress.
Okay. Elizabeth.
Yeah, everything Danny and Tanya said, I was going to say, especially now, it's franchises or like reboots of movie franchises or like adaptations of things, sort of pre-existing things that have a built-in audience that are like almost entirely guaranteed to show up to the movies.
Okay. Pete.
Well, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I agree with everything that Danny, Tanya, and Elizabeth said. But I also think a real big factor, and I think one that people probably don't realize so often, is scheduling. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many movies that if they come out at the wrong time, they're just doomed not to do well. There was a study done that movies that came out after anything after August 10th made 20% less than movies that came out prior to it. And so what the studios would often do is put the films that were kind of in lesser demand later into August and even early September because of it. But sometimes the studio makes the mistake of doing something like Disney putting out an animated film like Mars Needs Moms, and then 2 weeks later putting out John Carter, which is about a guy going to Mars to fight Martians. And between the two of them, they lose $300 million because one did so badly that by the time the second one came around, it was just already such a negative thing about the whole Mars thing. Mm-hmm. That they both did really badly. So sometimes you could just schedule at a really bad time. And, you know, and the one thing I would disagree with Danny is you can do a dramatic film if it's kind of counter-programming towards, like, a big tentpole film. So, like, when, like, an Avengers film comes out, that's really a good time to do, like, a rom-com at the same time because you're getting two different audiences from it.
Or, like, Gone Girl, because I feel like Gone Girl came out in the summer, right?
Yeah.
So but that was like, adapted from a pre-existing, very popular book.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also going to sound like a broken record and say I agree with what Danny, Tanya, Elizabeth, and Pete said.
Thank you.
So now that we have all the elements that we feel decide a movie's fate, which we assume studio executives also use to determine what films they should make, let's look at the summer movie release calendar. I'm going to give you the name of the movie, its log line, and who is in it or directed it. and you tell me whether it's going to be a hit or a miss. In September, we will look at how the summer movies did, and we're going to revisit our answers to decide, are you smarter than a movie studio executive? So I'm actually going to be taking notes of this, and I'm going to see how many of them we think are going to be hits and which ones are not.
Now, just really to clarify, the movies that we picked to go through, these are all of, this is every one of the movies that's announced as a wide release movie. So there's none of the limited release or art house release kind of
films. They're all wide release.
Or like no streaming only.
No, this is,
In theater.
These are all movies that have designated themselves as wide releases, meaning that they're opening in more than 1,000 theaters. I don't know what the final number now is on what a wide release is, but it's definitely more than 1,000 theaters.
Yeah.
And we have a lot to go over.
This is every one of them.
Yeah. So we have, so it's going to be a while. Yeah, it's funny because I was looking at the list and I realized how I'm so not into any of these genres. A lot of these movies, I've never even seen any of the, movies that are connected with them or the prequels to them. So there's only a few here that I'm familiar with. So if I put any names,
some movies are not your thing though. I was saying earlier, you're more a holiday movie season person because you like the warm-hearted dramas and comedies.
I like independent films a lot. So if I butcher any character names, I apologize because, like I said, I'm not familiar with a lot of these movies. Okay, so let's start with the first one, Cruella, a live-action prequel feature film following a young Cruella de Vil. It stars Emma Stone, Emma Thompson, and Joel Fry. This one I'm absolutely excited about. So, who says it's going to, do you want to talk about it or any thoughts on Cruella?
I don't think it's going to be a huge hit. I think it'll do well. Well, it's gotten kind of middling reviews from what I've seen so far. I think it's too campy from what it sounds like for general audiences. The high fashion, the kind of vaguely punk stuff. I think it's kind of too weird in a way. Is there a middle option where it's going to do okay? Can you do
that could be your answer here.
Yeah, I'll say it'll do okay.
So I'm gonna make another list for okay. Okay. Yeah. So
quick question. What would you classify as a hit?
You know what a hit is, a movie that so well and you can't deny that it was a hit.
If you think it'll make over $100 million in its first weekend, maybe
I don't think any of the movies will make over $100 million.
Pretend it's normal circumstances, I guess.
Okay.
This movie, in order to make back its money, has to make $160 million. So it would not be it until it really probably reaches $300 million.
You know what though, but it also has me thinking, aren't people going to be dying to go back to the movies anyway? So aren't they going to be, at least Cruella, the kids get to go to the movies now. And
but this isn't a kids movie. This is not for kids.
It is at the Capitan.
Because they're just going to associate it with the cartoon, I think.
Right.
I'm just thinking of my friends who have kids. I know they've been talking about, we can't wait to see this with the family. And I don't know, but we'll see.
I think it'll do better than what people think it will.
I think so too.
I just have to find a theater because the Arc Light's not open.
RIP Arc Light.
See, I think we're going to see this. We're going to actually say this a couple of times tonight. But there are a lot of big release movies that are also going to streaming at the same time this summer. Mm-hmm. And the thing to me is that if Disney was so sure that this was going to do well in the theaters, this wouldn't have been the one that would have gone to streaming right away. Especially the fact that it's Memorial Day weekend and that there is so many, essentially almost everything is open now. But one of the reasons why I think it's not going to do as well is I read just a snippet about it, and somebody and a reporter said, this is Disney's take on The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
And I just don't see this being skewing towards younger guys, even boys. Men, I don't think are going to be as apt to see this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you have a strong enough market to do it. I mean, I think it'll do okay.
It's not going to be terrible, but it's not going to do it's doing so well.
Because there's been some criticism of people asking the question, who's it for? And I'm like, well, it's fine that it's not for guys. Not everything has to be for guys, you know, no, by any stretch.
But this is Memorial Day weekend. If you're going to do a film for guys, you're doing two dates. You're doing Memorial Day weekend, you're doing July 4th.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it's being released, I think, at a weird time. I almost feel like it should have been released in, like, March instead.
See, I think that what happened with them is that they had all the confidence that this was going to be a big hit for them, so they pushed it into the Memorial Day weekend, and then when they started getting feedback and maybe some test scores from preview audiences, they started realizing it wasn't skewing to the audience that they wanted, and said, okay, oh, you know what, we'll put it on Disney Plus too, you know, and they'll, you know, before anybody notices it's not that great, they'll make the $30 off of, half a million.
They'll get you.
Well, Emma Stone is in it, so she may draw some too.
Yeah,
she's not. I mean, as big as she's. It's weird because, like, how do I put this in the best way? She's kind of like a movie star, the same way that, like, a television show now that's in the top 10 would probably have been in the top 50 10 years ago.
I was gonna say she's like A-list quality. I think she's a very good actor, but she is not like an A-list box office draw. I don't think people say, oh, I want to see the new Emma Stone movie. They like her a lot, but she is not exactly the reason.
And why they
not putting the asses in the seats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So I'm saying no, not a hit.
Okay. Fair enough. The second one, A Quiet Place 2. The Abbott family from A Quiet Place are forced to venture into the unknown, realizing the creatures that haunt by sound are not the only threats lurking beyond the sand path. Okay, so thoughts on this one, Danny?
I hate it because that's actually what I'm trying to see this weekend. So that's why I'm trying to find a theater.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pete?
I actually think this might be a big hit.
I think so too.
Firstly, mm-hmm. I think it's already got the built-in audience because of the first one, because it was so well-received. It's getting really good reviews, which helps too. It is coming out at the perfect time, again, for a film that's going to skew more towards a male audience. But even more than that, it was made for, I think, $17 million. So I think the total budget with all the advertising and everything else was only $60 million, which is almost unheard of for a movie coming out, at the top of the summer season. So it could probably be in the black before the end of this weekend. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a huge hit.
Okay, Elizabeth, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it'll be a hit. You know, the first one was so popular and so, like, well-received, and people are pumped for this. They've done, and, like, John Krasinski's done a good job, too, of, like, hyping it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people like him, you know, he had the whole Good News thing going during the pandemic, and, you know, he kind of kept his name out there in a way that I think effectively boost this movie as well. So yeah, I'll say hit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna see it, and I really liked the first one. I thought it was so good. But I was just right before we came on, I was telling Pete, I just think that, you know, I'm just wondering what they're gonna do with this one. I mean, considering that the premise is already there, like the first one, they did such a great job with it. I go, where are they gonna take this storyline? Is it just gonna continue?
It's a chunk of it is like the before time, you know.
Oh, okay.
Some of it, not the whole movie, but as you'll see,
so it won't go back into okay,
it goes back in time to first day the creatures showed up or whatever, and then you just find out what the rest of the world is like because you were only with the family on the farm the whole time. So the question, of course, was like, well, what the hell, you know, how did the world collapse, you know, such that it's just this family on a farm basically? We know they're not the only people, but like, you know.
Okay, that's perfect sense. And yeah, that I will definitely be watching it.
I believe we're also going to find out that man is sometimes the worst predator in this movie.
People,
the most dangerous predator.
The most dangerous game.
So we are renewing our A-list, right, Pete?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We don't have to do it this week, though, because T-Mobile gave us $4 tickets to go see it.
Oh, are they renewing it this T-Mobile? Week? I need to, like, maybe put
you
that
You
on
can there. If you wanted to.
I'm gonna keep it holding as long as I can.
Okay, so let's move on to the rest of the summer movie schedule. The next movie is called Spirit Untamed. Lucky Prescott's life is changed forever when she moves from her home in the city to a small frontier town and befriends a wild Mustang named Spirit. It stars the voices of Isabella Merced, Julianne Moore, and Jake Gyllenhaal, and it comes out June 4th.
No, what is this?
I like
no.
Jake Gyllenhaal a lot, but I have no interest in this at all.
I don't even think kids want to see this.
I agree. Jake Gyllenhaal's a great actor, but I'm not into the animated movies, really. Even like the Disney ones, I wait till they come out on video. Yeah. Unless it's something like
is this a sequel to that like Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron movie from like 1996
that had Matt Damon
as a voice?
With that, some loosely
no one was really clamoring for. A
but
sequel
it's
for
it's
that.
Another one of those attempts like by DreamWorks to try and get an animated film out there, and I guess they're doing it now for the simple reason that Disney doesn't have.
It won't be a hit. It'll fill a void that is much needed, as Veronica said, for parents and kids. Like I've got to get them out of the house. Let's go do something, and we can finally go to the movies again. Fuck it. Take them to the horse movie. We're going. I don't care.
Do you think that, like, a lot of, knowing that it's coming out, like, next week, do you think that there'll be a lot of parents that'll still say, hey, you know, my kids haven't been vaccinated yet, and maybe this isn't probably the first thing I want to take.
They're not going to care. They're going to take.
They don't care. Yeah, because
the house.
Yeah. I think we're not even going to remember that this movie came out.
Nope.
No, I don't think so.
Now they're going to all get vaccinated because they're going to be put in a lottery for hundreds and thousands of dollars of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they behavior.
You know,
they just approved Moderna for kids.
You know, you have to be entered into a lottery because, you know, I don't know, not dying is not an incentive enough. So
I saw someone say, oh, but shouldn't good ideas sell themselves about being vaccinated? And, you know, people are fucking dumb, though, too. So they don't know a good idea when they fucking see it. So
however, I did see something that said that if you are already vaccinated, you're already entered.
Well,
maybe I won't be that upset now.
Also,
a friend of the show, Meg, posted if you download the United app and show them your vaccination card, you're entered to win round trip airfare for free for a year.
Oh.
And I'm like, don't mind if I do.
On United.
Yeah, but then you'd have to find United. Exactly.
Yeah, that's how flight United.
Okay, so the next movie is The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. The Warrens investigate a murder that may be linked to a demonic possession. It stars Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga.
Farmiga, I think.
Thoughts? Pete, I don't know.
Yeah, I actually think this is going to do really well because I think we've been stuck in the house for almost a year and a half now, and people want to see some horror that doesn't involve watching it on TV. and also, this, you know, they've been really smart because in between doing each one of the actual Conjuring films, they've been releasing the Annabelle movies and the Nun. So they've kind of kept this in the public eye all this time. And even the Nun, which was fairly bad, did really well. And I actually enjoyed it. So
I had a good time at the Nun. I didn't think it was high art, but I had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be released on HBO Max next week, too. But still, I mean, I think it'll do well in the theaters because this is the kind of movie you probably do want to see in a dark theater, maybe with some people in it, you know, so they're screaming and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Danny, thoughts?
These are the movies I watch in the morning when it's all nice and bright, then I get scared. I did see the first one in the theater, and that thing was freaky with that demon sharpening his nails. It was,
You're thinking of Insidious.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. But I did see The Conjuring.
God damn it.
Sorry, wrong one.
That's okay.
But I did see the first one, and it was freaky. I did, but it does have a built-in audience that usually do well the first two weekends, and then it kind of plummets off. So,
okay.
I think it could be a hit, though.
I think Tiny had her hand up for me.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, I think it'll be okay, because I don't know. Some people may just be over the horror of what real life has been for like the past 14, 16 months that they're like, I don't want to watch it anymore. But, you know, your diehard fans that follow it will definitely be there and want to see it.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, what are your thoughts?
As a horror fan, I'm pumped. I don't know if I'm going to go to a theater for it. I think I'm personally still a little hesitant for theaters just yet, but I do want to see it. And yeah, like this has the built-in audience. I think it'll do really well because I think horror fans have been like enjoying stuff on the small screen at home, and there's been good releases, but at the same time, like 90% of the fun of horror movies is being in a crowded theater with people and all reacting and at the same time and screaming and having fun. And golly, I missed that.
Okay. So the next one, In the Heights. The scent of a cafecito caliente hangs in the air just outside of the 181st Street subway stop. The likable, magnetic bodega owner, Usnavi, saves every penny from his daily grind as he hopes, imagines, and thinks about a better life. It stars Anthony Ramos, Corey Hawkins, Leslie Grace, and Stephanie Beatriz, and it comes out June 11th. So I will save my thoughts for the end. Let's start with Tanya.
I think this is actually going to do pretty well. I mean, it's not only for like the representation, you know, you have like the Latino cast and they get to see themselves. So that'll be exciting. Then you get people who like musicals and all that. And Anthony Ramos, he has his Hamilton fame and he also has an amazing CD. So I think this is going to be a hit.
Okay. Elizabeth, what are your thoughts?
Yep. You got the built-in Lin-Manuel Miranda fan audience. It was brilliant that they were able to release Hamilton on Disney Plus to keep that momentum going, to remind you like, hey, you didn't get this In the Heights that last summer, but you will now because you remember you guys all liked Hamilton when we released it then. I know it's two different companies, but regardless, they're riding that wave together. And yeah, I think it's a big popular, you know, again, adaptation of well-known or pretty well-known property. And as some of these guys, as I sent them the TikToks of In the Whites, of white kids at a high school theater performing it. And oh my God, watch both. Watch the real movie with the actual quality cast and then cry laughing at the TikTok.
Dan.
Oye mi gente, this movie's going to be great. And like Chris would say, muy caliente. And I think this will finally get Lin-Manuel his Oscar and make him an EGOT. So I'm there. Mm-hmm. First one in line if I can.
Okay. Pete?
See, I have a little bit of a different take on it. I think it's going to do well. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's going to do well, but I don't think it's going to do nearly as well as people would like it to do for a couple of reasons. Firstly, musicals in general are not huge money makers. I mean, you know, when you get past Grease, everything else beyond that, unless it's a movie that's tailor-made either for kids or it's got something that like a movie like The Greatest Showman got lucky because it had Zendaya in it and she was young and she had that young.
It didn't start out as a hit though. It took a while to build.
It was a great movie too.
I think Lin-Manuel's politics might play a part in this, and the fact that it is a film with mostly Latinos in it is going to probably hurt them in the middle of the country. I don't think you're going to have as wide an audience as you would think you would have for it. But I think it'll do well. I also agree with Danny. It's going to probably win some Oscars because, you know, there were so many complaints this year that Latinos were left out of the Oscars that I think it's going to win every Oscar just because that's how Hollywood deals with their guilt. I think it will do well, but not overwhelmingly well. I think it'll do well enough to say it was worth making the movie. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited obviously to see it. You know, I've seen the musical. I saw Lin-Manuel in the Heights before, obviously, you know, he rose to fame and, you know, for Hamilton, the music itself, like I said, it's not one of my favorite musicals. I'm going to be honest. But I'm still going to see it because I want to see how they put it into film. And because of the Latino, you know, connection that I feel personally, I'm very proud of this film and I'm so glad it's been made and it's going to be out there. But I also kind of agree with Pete too, that it will probably win some Oscars. Maybe it deserves it. Maybe it doesn't because of, you know, we have to make sure that we, you know, have representation. Like John Leguizamo, for instance, was complaining about the Oscars this last year saying, you know, oh, we're you know, with the Latino representation. I'm like, well, can you name some Latinos that you think should have been nominated? And I mean, you know what I mean? So it's like, don't just give someone an Oscar just because they're Latino.
But they will. That's the thing.
But They will. In the Heights. And like I said, it's not, you know, from all the, you know, hundreds of musicals that I've seen, and I'm a huge musical nerd and fan, this is not one of my favorites, but I am still very excited. And I think a lot of Latinas like myself, Latinos, will go see it, even if they're not musical fans, because we do want to support this film. So I'm excited to see, you know, like I said, I'm sure they're going to do a great job with it. And I love Anthony Ramos. Like, you know, like Tanya said, he's got an amazing voice, and I'm really happy that he's playing Usnavi in it. So we'll see. Okay. So the next movie, The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. The bodyguard, Michael Bryce, continues his friendship with assassin Darius Kincaid as they try to save Darius's wife, Sonia. This stars Ryan Reynolds, Salma Hayek, Frank Grillo, yeah, Samuel L. Jackson, and it comes out June 16th. Pete, what do you think?
Major bomb. Okay. I'm surprised
it got a sequel. How did it get a fucking sequel?
I had to remember.
I never met one person who saw this movie, the original.
What's the original movie?
The Hitman's Bodyguard.
There was a movie called The Hitman's Bodyguard.
This is a sequel. To a film that no one saw.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I actually, when I saw that it was coming out, I thought it was the movie that they made a sequel to. So I didn't realize that the other movie had come out already. Yeah. So I thought this was actually that movie. So, and it's just, I mean, Ryan Reynolds, if he's doing Deadpool, he does well. But it just, what else does he do that does really well?
Deadpool in the costume.
Yeah,
it's basically all he does. I like him, but he really does have kind of one mode, which is like Deadpool but handsome.
Deadpool but handsome. Well, that should be on his resume. Deadpool but handsome.
Okay, the next film, Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway. Thomas and Bea are now married and living with Peter and his rabbit family. Bored of life in the garden, Peter goes to the big city where he meets shady characters and ends up creating chaos for the whole family. It stars James Corden, Boo. Elizabeth Debicki, Lenny James, and Margot Robbie. I can never remember her name.
Robbie.
June 18th, it comes out in case you want to see it. The day.
Bomb.
Okay. Pete.
If you see any of the advertisement for the film, they're playing up, this is the family event of the year, because there is no other family movies anywhere around it. So it might do okay. I mean, I guess the first one did well enough that they had a reason to do a sequel.
But everybody hated it. This is so, it's so weird. It makes enough money, but like every critical person hated it.
That's not
a great barometer.
But, that brings up a good question. And I asked Veronica this. I'd love to hear everybody else's opinion on it. Do you think that some critics might go easier on films for the next few months because they don't want to deter people from going to theaters?
No.
You don't think, like a movie that maybe they would have said was good might be great now? Like, there might not be a little of that?
No, because I feel like, I think that a good indicator was, like, No one was super harsh to Wonder Woman, but they weren't overly kind either. You know,
but that one wasn't really in theaters. I mean, that was really
that was like a big release that still happened that everybody was like going to sit home and watch, and that was the dumbest movie I've ever seen in my life.
It's like saying, are the Republicans going to come down that Trump's not in office? Yeah, no.
So they're very set in their ways, you guys think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, the next movie, F9, which I figured out later on that it was Fast and Furious.
Fuck 9!
I can't believe there's been 8 that I've never seen. Okay, so Cypher enlists the help of Jacob, Dom's younger brother, to take revenge on Dom and his team with Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez, Jordana Brewster, and Tyrese Gibson, and that comes out June 25th.
It's about family.
Let's start with you, Joe.
This will be the greatest movie of the year. I'm predicting Oscar nominations all the way around. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And yes, I will be there on opening night. I love this whole series. It's so stupid, crazy, wonderfully fun. And I can't wait for this. I've been waiting for this a whole year. Please be wonderful.
Okay, Danny.
I definitely think this will be the top movie of the summer. I don't know about the year, but definitely for the summer. It has a very strong fan base, particularly in the Latino community. Mm-hmm. And it, yeah, it'll definitely fill up the seats. And I think it'll be a good time because The Rock's not in it. And he was kind of making it about himself, which I didn't like the last film. So I'm glad he's not in this one.
So they got someone with a slightly less campaign. Ego, which is John Cena.
Yeah. So yeah, this will be the number one movie of the summer.
But I have a question. Since
just don't ask John Cena about Taiwan.
Yeah. It was The Rock and Vin Diesel in the same Fast and Furious movie? Because I don't.
Yes, but they hate each other, and there's rumors that they were like never on set together. Someone brought like someone posted a scene where it's like stand-ins and angles and all sorts of things that so that they never had to actually interact. That feels a bit far-fetched, but not entirely impossible.
Yeah. Okay, Pete, and then I'll go to Tanya. Go ahead, Pete.
See, I think it's already made $160 million because it's actually been out for a week already in Europe. So it's going to do well. I mean, that's no doubt. But I think this movie actually benefits from the fact that people haven't been going to the movies for over a year now, because it just kind of like Danny hit on something. The Rock's not in this movie. Jason Statham is not in this movie. They replaced them with John Cena, who was essentially like replacing, I don't know, Cindy Crawford with your mom. So they did not kind of enhance themselves by getting John Cena to replace those guys. But I think because there's been all this time off, it's going to do well. I don't think it's going to be the biggest movie of the summer. I think there's a couple other movies that are going to beat it. But yeah, it'll do well. I think it'll do less well than the last one. Let's put it that way.
Can I ask about that comparison really quick? What do you mean, like refusing? Substituting Cindy Crawford with our moms? Like, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's like I think
it's a downgrade.
I think it's a downgrade. I think, but and by that I mean from the audience standpoint. You know, each movie in the series did better than the one before. And that's happened on, I think, the last three movies, if I'm not mistaken. And the numbers started increasing once Dwayne Johnson joined the franchise. Regardless of whether you like him or not, he does bring another element of audience to those movies. So you lose him, you lose Jason Statham, and you're losing some two main character people that actually did drive audiences in. John Cena has made a bunch of movies, and the closest thing you've got, you could say, to him driving somebody in was he drove them. Nah, I was going to say something stupid. Okay, so forget it. Nobody went to see any John Cena movies, is what I'm trying to say.
They weren't original cast members, and the movie's more about Vin Diesel than it is about The Rock.
That doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that when those guys joined, the numbers increased, which is why they got their own sequel. I mean, their own offshoot.
Spin-off film.
So it's like, anybody who tells me that not having those two in the movie is better than having them in doesn't know like the way movie audiences work. So, you know, and to replace them with John Cena, who has not ever had a successful film. I mean, like I said, the only thing that really helps them here is that nobody's been doing a movie for a year. So they'll take that either way. And there is the fan base. There are the people who don't see it. But I think it'll actually do less than the last movie did.
Oh, Peter. Okay, go ahead, Tanya. Go put in your...
Yeah, no.
Go ahead, dig a hole, Joe. I want to prove I'm right in 3 months.
No, I'm going to...
Yeah, I am ready for this. I think I agree with Joe. This is going to be a huge movie. We have the built-in audience base from all the other ones. I, along with Joe, I've seen them all, love them all, except for that third one, which the one we don't talk about.
Tokyo Drift.
But everything else, we love it. It doesn't matter. This is not about John Cena. Even he is not going to be able to ruin this. This is about the cars, the action, the crazy stunts and things that happen that we're like, yeah, ain't no way that could actually happen in real life, but it's the movie. We love it. This will probably be the first movie that I will be brave enough to venture back into an actual theater to see.
Okay. Yeah.
And now, Peter, you're making it. First of all, this movie is going to do fantastic globally because Fast and Furious movies do great globally because they have such a diverse cast. which is really great. But the thing you're missing, Pete, the thing you're missing, and that all the fans are going to go to this movie to see is Han is back. And we need to know how and why Han is back. And that's going to, that trumps any Rock or Jason Statham coming in at any time. That's what's going to make this movie huge, is we got to figure out how and why Han is back. Because he's back, baby. And
Joe,
he's going to kick
not
it.
Saying,
we
I'm
never
not
saw
a
body,
the
so there was always
well.
That kid.
That's what I'm saying. We never saw a body.
I'm not saying that the film's not going to do well. I agree. It's going to do really, really well. I just think that it's not going to do as well as like the last one. We're pretending to be studio executives right now. I think that there's going to be a drop off from the last film. Now, if that means it's going to make 700 million to 800 or not 800 million, that might be what it is. But what I'm trying to get at is that I just don't think it's going to do.
Not only is this going to do really good, but next year when Hobbs and Shaw 2 comes out, that's also going to do well.
No, again, I'm not arguing that point. I'm just trying to say, from the standpoint of where I think it's going to land, it's going to do less than its previous film.
No.
The only thing I'll disagree with Joe on, it's not an Oscar movie. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying that because I'm a huge fan of this franchise.
It might add action to the Oscars as a category.
Listen, if they would get that stunt Oscar like they're supposed to be having, would win one.
Okay.
We'll find out in September.
They wanted to give that Oscar to the most popular movie.
September is when we're going to come back and look and see how we did it in this whole prediction thing.
Okay, guys, we still have a lot of movies to go through, and we're kind of running behind, so I'm going to keep it going. So the next one is The Forever Purge. All the rules are broken at a sect of lawless marauders.
Mm-hmm.
That the annual purge does not stop at daybreak and instead should never end. Stars Ana de la Reguera, Levin Rambin, Josh Lucas, Cassidy Freeman, July 2nd. Okay, Elizabeth, thoughts?
I think it'll be a minor hit. Like, it'll be put it in my okay category again, because it'll do just well enough to get another sequel, because that's how these movies operate, is they do just well enough and are just popular enough to keep making sequels. And it's also this series, like, kind of logical conclusion of, like, wait, why does it stop after one day? But to their credit, I have to say they, you know, people kind of weren't that, like, they liked the first one and it did well enough to get a sequel, but the smartest thing they did, at least with some of the sequels, was address the actual kind of, like, political implications of this idea and really expand the world outside of, like, the suburban white home that you started the series in, and it got into, like, the people would actually affect more, which is, like, poorer people in inner cities and things like that. It's actually a very fascinating franchise in that way, I have to be honest. Like, I really enjoy it.
Okay, Pete?
Yeah, I agree completely with what Elizabeth said. I mean, I think it'll do just well enough for there to have been a reason to make it, because every one of these movies does just well enough for there to be a reason to make another one. And it's clearly who's ever completely behind these films is an incredibly liberal person.
Yes, they are.
Because they have figured out how to use our politics to kind of keep advancing their storyline in some way. And it works because, you know, as stupid as the concept might sound, it's actually really well executed.
Yeah,
there's probably more political satire to it than there actually is horror,
especially the second and third ones.
Oh yeah, and this one is just, this one to me is basically talking about how Republicans handle the pandemic. It's like, we'll just ignore what everybody else says and just do what we want. And that's basically what this movie is. Mm-hmm. So it'll do just well enough to feel like that they had a reason to make this movie. And so, yeah, they keep the budgets low, and then they're using the same game plan that the Blumhouse movies made. Don't spend a lot of money on the movie, put it out, and then just cash in.
Yep.
Hey, Joe, and then we'll move on. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to mention, is that they make sure that the budgets on these things are a minimum. You never really see a big star in it at all. It's either a star that used to be big or no stars at all, and they keep it really low. Though I'll tell you, this series is going to go along until we finally get to The Purge White Collar Crime, which would be 2 hours of a guy in a boarded up house with a computer stealing tons of money.
He's inflating Doge.
Because I don't know why, but if there was the Purge, I would be committing tons of white collar crime in a boarded up house.
So for the rest of the movies, because we still have quite a few, let's just do hit or miss. Okay, right? Because we still have a lot.
Well, I mean, there's a couple that we probably want to talk out, but there's...
If there's one that you want to face, then just...
There's like three or four I would say we probably want to talk about.
The next one is The Boss Baby Family Business 2. The Templeton brothers have become adults and drifted away from each other. But a new boss baby with a cutting-edge approach is about to bring them together again and inspire a new family business. Voices of Lisa Kudrow, James Marsden, Jeff Goldblum, and Alec Baldwin. July 2nd, it comes out. So, interesting. I see a lot of thumbs up. I see a thumbs down, an okay. And Pete wants to say something. Go ahead.
It's not going to do well. And it's the first movie that's going directly to Peacock the same time as it's going to theaters.
They just announced that the other day.
So, yeah, so yeah. They must have got some test audiences back. And okay. So, yeah.
I rescind my thumbs up and switch it to thumbs down.
Oh, now we have thumbs down. Okay. For those of you that are listening. The next movie, Black Widow, a film about Natasha Romanoff in her quest between the film Civil War and Infinity War, stars Scarlett Johansson, Florence Pugh, David Harbour, and Rachel Weisz. So looks like everybody thinks it's going to be a hit. Pete, did you want to add something?
I think it's going to be a hit, but I also think either Disney's still afraid of having a female lead in an action movie, or they know something that we don't know, because they were very quick to put this in the as one of those streaming films that you can get through Disney Plus too.
I'll be right back. Keep talking.
This is a $200 million movie. So the fact that they're already kind of giving away a big chunk of the audience to Disney Plus just means, I mean, with the $30 premium, it just means that I think that they do not have the confidence it's going to do as well as the $200 million.
Fair. This movie was pushed back and back and back and back because of the pandemic. And there's a ton of Marvel fans, and they were screaming, "Why don't you do with this what you're doing with the other movies on Disney Plus?" And that's why I think personally Disney relented, because Kevin Feige over at Marvel did not want to do that, and he was behind that. But finally, Disney was like, "Too many people are saying or want to see this movie," and we're not. At the time when they announced that a long time ago, theaters were still iffy. And I still think theaters are still iffy a little bit. So I don't necessarily think it's that. I think it's just because so many fans, Marvel fans, were like, "We want to see this movie," and Disney finally relented on that. I think is what the
I think it's weirdly a combo of the two. Like, they both like don't have a ton of faith in it, but at the same time, no, people really want to see it. And so it's sort of almost like it is a hedging their bets, but both in a positive and negative way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that it's definitely going to do well, but I do believe that they do realize that they probably have a limited. It's not Iron Man, it's not the Avengers, it's like a second tier Avenger film. So I mean, I don't think it'll do the numbers. And
it's going to do the same numbers like Ant-Man and Doctor Strange and all those other ones, and that's fine that's what they make
still
these movies
technically
for.
A hit, but definitely
that's what they make these movies for.
Definitely.
Okay, moving on to Space Jam: A New Legacy. NBA superstar LeBron James teams up with Bugs Bunny and the rest of the Looney Tunes for this long-awaited sequel, starring LeBron James, Zendaya, Sonequa Martin-Green, and Don Cheadle, and that comes out July 16th. And I believe our friend Sheldon Bailey is also playing LeBron's body double for this one. We did it for the first one. Pete?
I think it's going to bomb. I think firstly, LeBron James, as much as he's beloved in some sense, by certain fans, he's also very he's not liked by a lot of other people that would maybe not bring their kids to see this movie. I mean, like, you're losing again the middle of the country because he is so outspoken, and now you might even lose some of the people that he used to be so I guess, in lack of better words, in bed with, because because now he's in a controversy because he won't admit whether or not he got vaccinated. So that might hurt him with a little bit with liberals, too. So you're already going to lose a lot of the conservative audience. I don't think Bugs Bunny is the property that it used to be with younger kids. I think it'll do okay, but I don't think it's going to make back its money. I think this is going to be one of those movies that they just overestimated how important this movie would be for Warner Brothers.
Okay, Danny?
It might do okay, and the only reason I'm going to go see it is I have two of the boys I coached on our championship team. They're actually in the movie. And so I will see it just to support them, but I'm not a LeBron James fan. He is not Kobe, and he's definitely not MJ. So,
okay. Elizabeth.
So far, everybody on this panel has only seen it because we have a tangential connection to the movie, which is not a great sign. This is, I think, a case of them wanting to cash in on nostalgia, and now it's like kind of past its expiration point for a little bit. Pete's right. Bugs Bunny is not the draw he used to be, and I know they're cramming the Warner Brothers universe into the movie, like they in the trailer they show like Iron Giant and Gandalf and stuff, but like, was anyone asking for that? Like, I know they got excited with the Ready Player One thing, but there was at least kind of a story built around that idea, and even though I thought it was stupid and I never saw it, it made, I think, more sense than like everybody playing a basketball game. Plus, I'm still so weirded out, as people pointed out in the trailer, they have the freaking Droogs from A Clockwork Orange in there for a split second. What? They are violent rapists. Why did they show up in the trailer for what is ostensibly a children's film? Very weird.
When is it coming out?
July 16th. Yeah, so I think this is going to bomb because I just think no one's that into Space Jam anymore.
Okay, Joe.
Yeah, you know, the original Space Jam, we look back at it in nostalgia, but it really wasn't.
It's a bad movie.
It wasn't a great movie. I mean, because it had MJ in it, and as a kid, that was pretty amazing. Yeah. And I love that, like, Bill Murray shows up and stuff like that.
Yeah. The all these comedy nerds on the panel are like, oh, I love Bill Murray and Space Jam.
And I had never met, like, Space Jam fanboys at a con or something like that. Yeah, and I dressed as Bill Murray from that. But like, and then all of a sudden they're on Twitter going, oh, my God, what did they do to Lola Bunny's boobs? I mean, come on. My God. This movie's going to be such a mess. It's going to be a hot mess.
What else is that bunny sexy? Jam? What helped Space Jam when it came out? The new kids section in Six Flags Magic Mountain was also opening around the same time. Mm. So that definitely helped. Right now, they're like, who are the Looney Tunes? Kids don't really know the Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
So that's definitely going to hurt them. Yeah. And if the Lakers don't win the championship this year, people are just not going to go because they're going to be laughing at LeBron.
Let's face it, when the original Space Jam came out, more kids went to see it because of MJ than they did for the Looney Tunes. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's just going to be a lot of conservatives that just don't like LeBron James politics that they're not going to bring their kids to see the movie.
Mm-hmm. Even if the kids want to see the movie, the parents weren't want to support him. Yeah.
And when imagine the America with kids,
Space Jam 2, The Forbidden Fruit.
Ooh, this movie is going to make its money back on pay-per-view and digital sales.
It'll make money.
It will make its money back.
Okay, moving on to the next movie, Jungle Cruise. Based on Disneyland's theme park ride, where a small riverboat takes a group of travelers through a jungle filled with dangerous animals and reptiles, but with a supernatural element. It stars Dwayne Johnson, Emily Blunt, Edgar Ramirez, and Jesse Plemons. That comes out July 30th. Elizabeth, what do you think?
So I saw the new trailer for it today, and I think it's going to do okay, because it's got Dwayne Johnson, almost a guarantee at the box office. He's not quite like Will Smith, Mr. 4th of July level or anything like that, but he'll get people going. This has, as a lot of people point out, kind of a Pirates of the Caribbean vibe, but similar to Emma Stone, Emily Blunt, great actress, not drawing people to movies. Like, she is not, I need to see the new Emily Blunt movie. I love her. I think she's great, but she's not exactly why I would go see a movie. And then also, it just looks dumb, like, you know, convoluted and weird, and like, I'm going to hate it because it's going to be like, we have to get the MacGuffin, but before we can get the goddamn MacGuffin, we have to do a bunch of stunt set pieces that Elizabeth is going to get up and go to the bathroom during, or maybe even fall asleep during. Hard to say.
Does it have the cheesy jokes from the actual ride?
Right? Like, if it, I mean, look, Joe might bring this up, but Weird Al already did the perfect Jungle Cruise story with Skipper Dan, the song. That's all I need.
I'm going to ask a stupid question, but sure. I'm going to ask it anyway. Jesse Plemons being cast in a Disney movie, I only know him, well, I mean, he was on that Game Night movie, and obviously from Breaking Bad as Todd. But has he? What else has he done?
He was in that Friday Night Lights show, and he's been on a bunch of stuff. He's
being cast in a Disney movie because I just associate him with that. You know,
he's like a weirdly hot commodity right now. Oh, okay. He's in a ton of stuff, and yeah. He apparently is maybe some kind of like German. I don't want to say Nazi because I don't think it's supposed to be World War II, but he does come out of like a steamboat. Okay. With like a German accent in the trailer, which was kind of the only part of the trailer that made me go, oh, I like that guy.
Okay. So. Pete, and then Joe.
See, I've watched all the trailers that come out. I love the look of the film. I think that they purposely went for a look that was very similar to African Queen, which if you look at the way that movie looked, and I know that was to try and get like older audiences interested.
Yeah.
In. I think that if it wasn't also going to Disney Plus at the same time, it probably would do really well at the box office. I think it'll do pretty well. I don't think it'll do outrageously well, but I think it'll do well enough to again to have said that this was a reason to do the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I think this has a unique thing that it's got The Rock but it's also Disney. And the way this movie is, it's for a great age for kids. Not too young of a kid, mm-hmm. but maybe 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's the one you're going to bring. And like, but dad and mom want to come along too because it's got The Rock and it's got Emily Blunt. If the writing is right, this movie might have a shot. Will it get a sequel? I don't know. But my whole thing is that it's interesting and it's something that I can bring that right age of kid that I probably... Might get bored with Space Jam 2 or some of these other younger kid movies. This is the movie for them, but mom and dad want to come along too because it's got these other players.
It needs the Jumanji tone, which because I didn't think I'd like Jumanji.
Right, right, right.
And I really ended up liking it. If they can nail that, then yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the whole thing. The trailer's not telling me how this movie's going to go because it's obviously going to be action, but if they can do a funny action like Jumanji, mm-hmm. This might have some legs.
If they don't go silly with it, it might do well.
Yeah, if it's
silly, where if they pander to kids, it'll hurt the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's an interesting point that you know that it could also be like for the whole family, like not just the kid,
right?
But parents will want to see it too. An adult, you know, that don't really want to go
like to if kids. you look at the first Pirates of the Caribbean, that is a much more adult film than all the films that followed it.
Really? Yeah,
it's you know, I mean, like. The fact that Johnny Depp was basically playing Keith Richards was like a
kids
really
love novel. Keith Richards. Oh, so what are you talking about? I said the kids love Keith Richards.
But what I'm saying is, it was definitely there was a lot of in jokes to adults that they kind of dulled down every film after it. But I think that they're trying to use that formula for this film to say we can get the kids in the theater, but we're also going to keep the adults in too.
Yeah, and if they can do what that first Pirates movie did, then this has got something.
The Green Knight, a fantasy retelling of the medieval story of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. It stars Dev Patel, Alicia Vikander, Joel Edgerton, and Sarita Chaudhary. It comes out July 30th. I've never heard of this movie, but there is one person in here that gets me to the movies, and it's Dev Patel. I will watch anything he does because he is so great. Elizabeth.
This will, unfortunately, I don't think do well because it's a very weird, you know, property story. It's a fantasy, but it's not like a fun high fantasy. It's not Lord of the Rings. It's not like, it looks very serious from what I've seen in the trailer, but I think it looks good. I think it'll be kind of like a long-term cult hit. And I know people love Dev Patel. Like people I know, like, you know, on Twitter all the time are going apeshit for this movie, but that is not, you know, obviously a mainstream audience by any means. Right. That's movie nerd Twitter that I'm on. So I think it'll be good. It'll actually be a good film. It just won't do well.
Yeah, like the premise of this movie, it's not like my cup of tea. Like I'm not like, oh, I love watching movies like this.
I'm like, sign me up. He's fighting a human dream creature.
In it, I would want to see him. I'm just a huge fan of his. Pete.
It goes one of two ways. If the film gets well received by critics, it'll do really well because it'll be one of those movies that people will want to at first say they found the movie. Like it was, mm-hmm. it was like one of those movies that you didn't expect to be a successful film and got better because it got good word of mouth. If it goes the other way, it gets bad reviews. It's basically Guy Ritchie's Robin Hood again. Where they're trying to get like mythologize
it's a King Arthur legend. King Arthur story.
Yeah, but yeah. they're trying to take something that's like an old property and try and create it for today's era, and yeah. it may not work. So it really depends on how it gets reviewed, I think.
Okay. The next movie's called Stillwater. A father travels from Oklahoma to France to help his daughter who has been arrested for murder. Stars Matt Damon, Abigail Breslin, Camille Cotton, and Jennifer Reed. See, like, this premise sounds interesting to me. Like, these are my kinds of movies. So this one I'm excited to see.
I might do well. I'll give it a thumbs up.
And that comes out July 30th. Pete?
This movie doesn't come out this summer if we didn't have the pandemic. This is like an October movie.
Yeah.
It might actually be really good. Again, I mean, I haven't heard anything of it really other than just the premise. It may be a really good movie, but it's coming out in the middle of July because we had a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And Matt Damon's in it. So.
Well, the Bourne movies came out in August and they did phenomenally well, you know, for Matt Damon.
But that's a different kind of movie. That's an action movie. Uh-huh. It could have been Matt Damon. It could have been Matt Dillon. It really didn't matter. it's a different thing altogether. This is like a character driven drama type film that's definitely like more film you'd see later in the year.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna do that well personally.
Okay. So the next movie is The Suicide Squad Super Villains, Harley Quinn, Bloodsport, Peacemaker, and a collection of nutty cons at Belle Reve Prison join the super secret, super shady Task Force X as they are dropped off at the remote enemy-infused island of Corto Maltese.
That's the title?
No.
I was about to say, that's a long title.
Oh, no. That's that's for the movie. I have no idea, by the way, what I just read. It's with Margot Robbie, it's Elba, John Cena, and Joel Kinnaman. August 6th.
Joe, you want to take it away?
this one is now. I'm a super huge nerd, and I love superhero movies. But yeah, as you know, I'm way more Marvel than Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers kind of has, but the thing that is on Warner Brothers is usually a mess, especially when the studio tries to stick their fingers into the pie. But this is James Gunn, and they kind of gave him free rein on this as kind of an FU to Marvel at the time when they had fired him, and they hired him back. So this one is kind of like I'm on the fence on this one. This one might be a really good, unlike other Warner Brothers superhero movies. This one might be really good, or it might be a mess. So I'm kind of, but you know what? I'm going to go see it because I want to know if it's going to be good or a mess. So, but yeah, this one's kind of on the fence, and I think most nerds feel the same way. This has a potential of being really great and really funny, or it could be just another Suicide Squad.
Okay, Danny, what are your thoughts?
John Cena's not going to have two outstanding movies this summer, and this is the one that's going to bomb.
Okay.
That's fair.
If this is the movie I think that Warner Brothers regrets putting on HBO Max, because I think between the advance notices, what people have said, they've seen either the whole movie or parts of it, and the fact that it is James Gunn, who is, you know, when it comes to the comic book world, he is like the guy you want to direct a movie. This would have been the biggest movie of the summer if it wasn't for the fact that it's going to HBO Max. It's got all the right elements. It doesn't matter who's in the cast for this movie because it's really all about James Gunn directing it and being behind the screenplay and everything else. I think this is gonna be that one movie that they're gonna go, wow, I wish we hadn't put this on HBO Max originally.
And he's really great at picking actors that love to work with him, so it just makes it that much easier. And I think that's one of the things that I enjoy about it is that they just you all see that those actors are just love doing this movie. So he's done it again with this cast, So we'll see what happens. But yeah.
So coming out this summer is also Respect, the life story of legendary R&B singer Aretha Franklin, with Jennifer Hudson, Forest Whitaker, Audra McDonald, excuse me. And it comes out August 13th. I'm excited to see it because I love biopics and I love Aretha Franklin. Pete?
Don't be surprised if this ends up going to one of the streaming services on the same day. Because this is one of those movies that's tailor-made for a streaming service to try and drive audiences to it. But they just had the biopic of Aretha Franklin that was on, was it National Geographic? With Cynthia Erivo, and that didn't do all that well as far as people watching that. I don't think Jennifer Hudson is going to draw in an audience. I think this is definitely skewed towards an older audience. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe because of where it's placed in August, maybe it does better. But I bet anything that they'll say, oh, you know, this is a good one for the day and date with the streaming service at the same time.
Tanya?
Yeah, I agree. I think this one is not more so like the blockbuster season movie. This was more tailor-made for later in the season, like trying when they release those films that are trying to get an Oscar, like somewhere around that time. Again, you know, burnt out from the Cynthia Erivo one that really just aired, which I don't think did that great. And I mean, loved Aretha Franklin. Oh my gosh, you know, but was there really this much of a demand for her story to where we needed that one, you know, a couple of months ago and this one? Like, I think we should have just waited for the film and or something.
Yes, yeah, I can see this movie coming out like maybe during the holidays.
Yeah, if they thought that was going to be a better film, they would have put it out later in the year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah, I think this has been, I could be wrong, if I recall though, I think this is one that's been shuffled around to a little bit on when it was being released, which is usually a pretty strong death knell for it doing well, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's how I feel about like this is that same as that Matt Damon. If it had an award potential, it would be later in the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to have a movie with a predominantly black cast finally make it during the summer, because I don't think we had mentioned one before.
No, I think you're right. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Well, this year.
So then next we have Don't Breathe 2. The sequel is set in the years following the initial deadly home invasion, where Norman Nordstrom, Stephen Lang, lives in quiet solace until his past sins catch up to him. It stars a bunch of people I don't know. Stephen Lang, Rachi Williams, Stephanie Arcila, Bobby Schofield. Pete, go ahead.
When the first Don't Breathe came out, it was one of those horror films that was like for horror fans to say, oh yeah, I saw that before everybody else did. But it's been actually quite a few years now since it came out. And so the fact that I don't even remember, all I remember was the guy with the cat.
May I?
Like I vaguely remember the whole movie, so I don't
allow see- me.
What?
Allow me.
I'll let you. Yeah. I'm just saying, but I just don't see this as being successful. Go ahead.
It was one of those kind of sleeper hits that did just well enough to theoretically justify a sequel. It's one a lot of people like, but the premise is these thieves break into the guy's house and they think he's just an old blind guy, but he is in fact like shredded to the fucking nines and like a former mercenary, and his hearing's really great because he's blind or whatever. And then they make a shocking discovery in his basement. If I may spoil briefly, anyone care?
We're okay.
All right. So he is holding a woman captive in his basement because that woman hit his daughter with her car, and he plans to impregnate the captive woman and have a new daughter by her. A wholly unnecessary addition to the story, if I may be so bold. But anyway, you know, there's only the final girl survives and she escapes, and they leave the guy for dead. But then, yeah, the cliffhanger is like, oh, he was still alive. And he's apparently so intense, though, that he'll track them down. I'm like, he doesn't know what they fucking look like. Yeah, it was all right. It took place in Detroit, which was interesting to me, but that's about it. The end. Enjoy.
I feel like they got the sequel by walking into like the producer's office and like didn't breathe until they said yes.
Did I do that all in one breath? I feel like I did that.
You did a good job.
Yes, that was really good. Pretty much, yes.
You're welcome.
So the next movie is Free Guy. A bank teller discovers that he's actually an NPC inside a brutal open world open world video game. Stars Ryan Reynolds, Jodie Comer, Taika Waititi, and Joe Keery. And that comes out August 13th. Pete.
They move this movie so many times that it tells you a couple of things. Number one, It was too big. They spent too much money to send it straight to streaming. And number two, they have no faith in it. Because if they thought this was going to be a bigger movie, this would have been the movie that came out this weekend or sometime early June
or
the latest beginning of July. The fact that it's coming out August 16th, they're hoping that by then there's enough people to go to the movie theater that they can get some audience for it. And it's basically just a video game version of the Truman Story, more or less. I mean, it might end up being great. I don't know, but it just feels like this movie's been moved around so much that there's no reason to believe that it's going to be a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Joe.
Video game movies never really do well, but this one's not really based on any specific video game. So it's interesting. I don't know if you're going to get gamers away from their PS5s to come see it. It does have some of the Deadpool creators behind it. So, I mean, it's an iffy one. I'm already saying, should I go and see it or wait for it to stream? And I like Ryan Reynolds and I love the Deadpool creators and things like that. And it's an interesting premise, but.
Well, you can watch it stream on HBO Max. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, the Deadpool stuff's kind of starting to wear thin, I think, too. There's nothing new about it at this point.
Yeah, they are trying to do something different. So, hey, let's give them that.
Mm-hmm. I'm laughing because you said it's been moved, and it has been moved because the trailer I saw on the screen said this December.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a Christmas movie.
I mean, this movie's been around so long that Alex Trebek was in it. How long it's been bouncing around now.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Candyman, a spiritual sequel to the horror film Candyman that returns to the now gentrified Chicago neighborhood where the legend began. I'm not even going to attempt to say any of these people's names.
Just say Candyman five times. It's fine, Veronica. Just do it.
Yeah.
Candyman. Don't do it, Veronica. Ooh. Don't do it.
We're going to your house.
Never seen it. Elizabeth.
I mean, I'm so excited for this because they've put out two amazing trailers for it. And the only thing that, this is not one that got shuffled around for any major reason other than it being the pandemic. It's got Jordan Peele's not directing, but everybody's very excited for the director of it. And they put out the original trailer when they thought it was coming out in the summer, and then they did a really spectacular trailer of an animation thing kind of around the time a lot of the Black Lives Matter protests were going on, and I think it's taking the story in a really interesting way. It's a popular franchise and it's kind of a reboot but not, and so I think it's gonna maybe not do spectacular, but this is what horror fans are showing up for in a big, big way.
Okay, Pete?
I'm going to take it even a step further. I think that potentially based on like how people do go to the movies, this could end up being one of the bigger films of the summer. Mm-hmm. I think that if you look at how well like Us did and mm-hmm. how well Get Out did, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that this is a film produced by Jordan Peele and it has like a crossover appeal because of the first Candyman film, films.
Bill Candyman.
And the fact that it's gotten a lot of really good buzz about how good it is. it's because of the bees. It's got elements that it's coming out at the right time that everybody will probably be going to the movies again. Yeah. I think this might be one of the top five films of the summer.
I hope so, because I'm really excited for it, and I was very, very bummed that it, obviously with like almost everything else, but that it had to get put on hold.
Hey, Danny?
being that it's actually made by Universal, it kind of gets me excited that they'll have a maze based on Candyman. Ooh, or yeah. Horror Nights.
Horror Nights maze.
And coming out in August, and Horror Nights starts in like late September. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a really good tie-in and very good promotional. Yeah.
Just in time for COVID. I do know that they're making one in Florida. I don't know if Hollywood is getting one. Mm-hmm. But I do know they are making a Candyman maze in Florida.
But the first one actually scared a lot of people. So I would go see this. And I'm not a big horror fan, but I would go see this.
But I highly recommend, check out the trailer that is like just the kind of paper animation style, because it's highlights, you know, a lot of tragic things in Black history, but in an interesting way, and how that kind of could create a monster like Candyman kind of thing, but all music only, just this anime. It's really like just a fascinating piece of art in and of itself.
See, I didn't know Jordan Peele was behind this, so because of that, I probably would want to go see it. Yeah. I've never
seen I'll go.
The original, so.
Okay. The original Candyman is, I mean, like, it doesn't get the credit for being as good.
It's really good, yeah.
It does get the credit in the horror world.
In the horror fans, yeah. Know.
Yeah.
But everybody else.
Tony Todd is Candyman.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah. I'll put it on my VR. Okay, and the last film is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. The movie is based on Marvel Comics, will focus on Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu. It stars Simu Liu, Awkwafina, Tony Chiu-Wai Lung, and Michelle Yeoh. Sorry, I don't know who any of these people are. Except
because our Korean audience again.
I'm sorry I butchered those names, but I do love Awkwafina. Pete.
I think this is one of those times when Marvel says, God, I wish we didn't have to put movies out in the order that we have to put them out, because we're coming out of a pandemic where there's an incredible amount of negativity towards Asian Americans, well, towards Asians in general. Plus, probably around that time, we'll get confirmation that the pandemic was started in a lab in China. And so this is like the kind of movie that if it didn't have to come out before other films, would have been pushed back till three movies, you know, with three movies in front of it. But because Marvel films have to fit a certain order, it's going to get hurt by that. I think there's going to be a lot of negativity surrounding it. And I think it shouldn't. I'm not saying that it's a good thing, but I think there's I think this is one of those times when their calculations are not going to work for them. And I think that's why they're doing it over Labor Day, because they're figuring if they're going to get an audience, that's the biggest day to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So final question before we move on to our final segment. Which movie do you think is going to be the biggest summer movie? If you had to choose one from all the ones that we went through, I'm going to go around and tell me which movie you think is going to be the top one. Let's start with you, Danny. Which one?
F9.
Okay. I've never seen any of the Furious movies, but I do have to agree with you that I think it is, based on everything you guys said, that will be the number one movie as well. Pete, what about you? What do you think?
I think I tend to agree that it's probably going to be that. Although, again, if Suicide Squad isn't going to HBO Max, it would be that one.
Okay. Elizabeth?
F9.
Mm-hmm. Tanya?
F9.
And Joe?
F9.
Okay. So we'll have to wait and see.
You know why we all agreed? Because we're family.
Because we're family.
That's it.
It's about family. Guys, I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
We're family. We're not a gang. We're family. We invented race wars.
Wait. Okay, now you guys want to watch the first one. I'm going to have to watch it.
I have it on VHS.
Oh, you're going to get started. I have them all, Veronica, so whichever ones you need.
We got them all.
And they have a little barbecue. They're set in a circle. And we could actually reenact that scene on Monday.
Elizabeth, if you don't know that was the first movie when they had the races out in the desert.
They called it Race Wars?
Yeah, they called it for some dumb reason Race Wars.
Oh my God.
Then they made a big thing later about how they started it. So I always said, we started Race Wars. Wait.
No, I've seen a small handful and I'm very excited.
Not the best name there, Mr. Dom. I think you're missing the mark of that name.
I have an opportunity to see it without having to pay for it, so I'm pretty pumped.
Well, if I have time this weekend, I'll watch the first one and I'll take notes.
You can skip the first
three. If you can't make it, Elizabeth, I would gladly take that ticket.
No, I'm going. Don't worry. I'll be just fine.
Okay, so let's move on now to our final segment and my favorite segment. Every week, the panel on TMI Daily shares its opinion on a wide range of topics, from politics to celebrities to pop culture. But very rarely do we try helping people with their everyday lives. For that reason, tonight, we've gathered some actual questions from online advice columns so that we can give the kind of expert advice you'd expect from out-of-work actors and writers who do a podcast in a segment called Dear TMI Daily. So let's start with tonight's first question. Our first question comes from Sensible Aunt. She writes, Dear TMI Daily, my sister wants to throw a big party for my 2-year-old niece next month. There will be a balloon artist, flower arrangements, catering, and lavish party favors for all of the 65-plus invitees. There are so many things wrong with this, but my sister won't budge and said she would be extremely offended if we don't show up. Meanwhile, her husband spoke to me privately, saying he doesn't know if they can afford the bill of the party, which could be more than $3,000. They have just one income, and she's a stay-at-home mom. Should I talk some sense into her, or should I just leave it alone and support my niece on her special day? So what advice do we have for this woman? Danny, you had your hand up first. What are you?
One, she's definitely not Latino. Because any party a Latino has, you're going to have everybody in the neighborhood show up. Everyone's going to bring their own pull pack. You know, there's going to be a DJ. There's going to be a mariachi in the beginning. You know, there's going to be carne asada for days. You know, any kids
all party, together, right?
Any kids party is an adult party. You know, and everybody comes together and pitches in. But for this lady, if the money's not there, she has a valid reason. But if it doesn't affect you directly, stay out of it.
How old is the kid?
Can I just add, though, for Latino kid party, we don't spend $3,000 either. We get all that for under $500.
So oh, yeah.
Yeah. Elizabeth, did you have a question?
I was double checking how old the kid is turning. They don't even fucking know what's happening. Exactly. Don't do this.
Oh, we don't care.
They don't remember shit for like 4 years.
That's it.
So, is there one Latino person in the neighborhood that has a bouncy castle like in their garage and they just pull it out? Is that how that works? Okay.
Or you drive around and you're like, oh, so-and-so has the bouncy house this weekend. We did it next weekend. And then
I just want to be sure.
That's how we do things.
Because it shows up at like Griffith Park. It shows up at like the parking lot to the zoo. It just shows up.
You buy it and then you share it. Pete?
Yeah, you know what? I think I agree with Danny. Stay out of it. Yeah. I mean, the person who needs to be opening their mouth is the father, because if mom is willing to make him come $3,000 out of his pocket for a party that her kid is not going to remember, what is she going to do to him when they do a party when the kid will remember it? You got to put this shit to bed now. And what the sister maybe should say is, hey, Dad, grow some balls and tell your wife no.
Yeah,
I agree.
Because anything you do, you're a bad person because you don't love your niece or nephew. Trust me, I know that. So just stay the fuck out of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, our next question comes from Possibly Overthinking. He writes, Dear TMI Daily, my girlfriend and I have been dating for a month and a half. About a week ago, I went to her place for the first time. It seemed a perfectly normal apartment and all, but when we went into her room, her closet door was open and she has a Confederate flag hanging in her closet. Now, she's never given me any reason to think she's a racist or bigoted or anything like that, but I suppose she also hasn't given me any particular reason to think that she isn't. When I asked her about the flag, she said she's really into history and the Civil War is her main topic. She did also have a bachelor's in history hanging up in her room, so that seemed pretty legit. But since then, I've asked a couple of my friends who were into history, one of which is going to college for it, if they would ever own something like that, and they both said they thought it was weird. Am I overthinking this? Is my girlfriend a racist or does she just like history? Owning a medal from Nazi Germany doesn't make you a Nazi. But why would somebody want something that symbolizes oppression? Is it just a history buff thing? Let's help this gentleman out. Tanya, what do you have to say? What's your advice?
Okay, first of all, you said girlfriend and y'all have been dating for a month and a half. You're moving way too fast. If you would have taken the time to actually get to know the crazy chick, you would have known this about her before calling her your girlfriend. But I'm glad you're finding this out now. However, there are just some really just tone deaf, have no clue what that flag stands for people out there. And bless her heart, she could just be one of them. So I say play that by ear again. Get to know her a little bit longer than a month and a half. If you see the racist tendencies coming, you know it was a lie, and keep going and figure it out from there.
Pete?
Yeah, I say run. I just get the fuck out as quickly as possible, because it starts with this. Then like 6 months later, she said, "You ever see the film Birth of a Nation?" And she started pointing out, you know, this is one of the Klan outfits they had in the film. Like, oh, but you know, she's just a movie buff too. So, no, you know, this is the minute you see the Confederate flag anywhere. Like when I see somebody with a car with a Confederate flag somewhere in there, I get the fuck away from that car as quickly as possible. Well, just go. It cannot be that good a relationship.
And you can be like a history. I mean, I'm a history buff, and I actually have a Life magazine of John Kennedy's assassination, but I'm not going to have like a picture of like Lee Harvey Oswald, like hanging on my closet. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah, this woman run for the hills.
And you know, her ringtone is probably like Dixieland.
Yeah. Oh, that's a phone. Hang on. Yeah. Does having these items make you a racist? No. Displaying them might though, you know, because some people have, you know, like, grandparents maybe fought in World War II and they might have like a Nazi medal or something like that. Or maybe, yes, unfortunately, your family was a part of the Confederacy and maybe you do have this family heirloom. But if you are trying to truly distance yourself from it, you keep it tucked away and just kind of be like, yes, it is a piece of history that we have, but yeah, we don't really like it. Yeah, the low key, like, oh yeah, that's just my Confederate flag. Don't worry about that. Do you want to go to my sorority later? We're all going to wear white. We got these cute hoods and it's going to be lovely. You'll just die.
Run.
Run, dude. She's crazy. And yeah, you can be like a Civil War, you know, history expert or buff without, you know, being like, now hear me out about the Confederacy. Let me offer you some counterpoints. Like, it's, yeah, it's fucking crazy, dude. She's gonna start asking. And Tanya's right, though. It means he A, either doesn't know her that well, or B, has never listened, because she probably was like, I'm just thinking the South had some good points to the Confederacy. And he's like, I can't wait to bang her later. And she's been, like, you know, expounding, like, I think the 1060, the, you know, what's the New York Times? The 1619 project is an abhorrent, you know, injustice. And I don't think they should teach critical race theory in schools. And he's like, can't wait to have sex later. Like, just all going through his head.
Hey, honey, instead of going to the movies this weekend, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene has an event coming up.
He's like, sounds great. Can't wait to go. Let's do
easy
it.
Easy to get tickets, apparently.
Yeah.
So, like, this is the thing. And one of the things, like, she has a degree in history. And she's a history buff. But she's displaying this flag incorrectly. It wouldn't matter what kind of flag it was. True. This flag should not be hanging in the back of her closet. It should be properly folded and put in its specific spot, like flag etiquette is. It doesn't matter what that flag is, Confederate or an American flag or whatnot. So she's already like violent. Like I'm not buying the history thing because it's hanging back there. If it was something that was like an artifact, if it was an original Confederate battle flag, and she had it because of history thing. If it was properly folded and properly stored, I might say, oh, okay, you know, she has a degree in history, you know, and then maybe this is something that we use in the future as a teaching thing or a talking point. Mm-hmm. But to be having it hanging in the back of the closet, y'all, time to move on.
Dude, she's crazy.
Because other than the American flag, the only flag you should be waving is a Yankees flag.
The call's coming from inside the house.
The racist is coming from inside the house.
So our final question comes from Playful Mom. She writes, Dear TMI Daily, my 16-year-old son is stealing our sex toys. My son took my husband's My son took my husband's handheld toys several months ago. I found it where it shouldn't have been and let my husband know. He talked to our son and told him these are personal items, like a toothbrush, and that he needed to stop taking them. God, I hope they're not using that as a toothbrush. A few weeks ago, I noticed my dildo was missing. I thought I had misplaced it or that my husband had it somewhere. As it turns out, our son took it. We talked with him again and stressed that these are personal items and not something to be shared. I want to get him his own sex toy so he stops taking ours. My husband is squeamish about it, and I agree it's weird to have your parents buy a toy for you, but he clearly wants one. I don't want to pick it out. I want to give him a prepaid gift card and have him pick it out from what he wants from the website of a very reputable shop. Is there a better way to handle this?
How old is he?
16.
16.
They're finding the toys for sure in his room. What I'm trying to say is the husband cheating on the wife and using the sex toys, but then planting them elsewhere and being like, our damn son won't stop taking these sex toys. Whoops.
You know, if the husband's going to cheat, he could spring for an extra sex toy.
Their son's a filthy pervert.
He's just a creepy little fuck.
He's a creepy little weirdo. Well, I think truly the quickest way to put any disinterest in the sex toys themselves is to sit him down and explain in graphic detail how it's used, manufactured, go through the catalog and website with him. And anytime your parents are like, you know how cool this thing is? They're going to be like, oh my God, that's so lame. I don't want one. And you'll then he'll just lose all interest. But once you make them not forbidden and not weird, then he doesn't care.
And this really wasn't you guys writing about Eve, right? That's not why you looked, right?
Ian's not with us right now. He'll be back in a couple weeks. Pete?
This is one of those things where I know I would not be the best of parents because I would come up to my son with a dildo on my hand and go, I put this in your mother's ass! Why are you taking it?
And I would say, he sure did!
And you know what? If they want to try and get their son to stop doing this, I know a girl who's a history buff that they can introduce it to.
No.
I thought you said 6-year-old, not 16-year-old, because I can see a 6-year-old going into your room and taking toys that you named Woody and Buzz. I get that, but like this is a 16-year-old. Why is he even going into your room? First of all, I mean that already seems a little fucked up to me. He's going into your room. And you're not there, and he's 16. Is he trying to go in your purse for money and then just ran into the dildo? Like how did that happen? And then what was dad's sex toy that he took?
I don't know.
That is your father's ball gag, young man.
Yeah, was it? I'm really, and then how do you just like is he talking about this with his buddies? The 16 is just so
weird.
This
was in my mom's ass.
Yeah.
Danny, what would you do if your son took your cock ring?
Oh my God.
That's my cock ring.
I can't believe we got our cock rings mixed up.
Tanya.
I am flabbergasted that she's well, I want to get him something, but I don't know what he likes. Well, what is it of yours that he keeps taking? You know exactly what he likes. Exactly. When I was little, I used to play in my mom's pots. So they got me a set of my own little pots for Christmas. Hello, if this is what he's playing with. Get him his own set. I'm sure he'll be turning 17 soon. Happy birthday.
I didn't think anything could beat last week's story. This one wins.
Wow. Oh my God. I'm laughing right now, Tanya, when you're talking about how they got you pods because I used to take my mom's chapstick and then they got me chapstick. So why don't they just buy him, whatever he's taking?
Exactly. Oh my God.
Not that hard.
the thing is, though, like pots and chapstick is one thing, but he's going to get these toys in the mail and it's not going to be the same. because it's not going to have certain tastes and smells that he likes.
Oh,
young man, guess who's getting their own double dong?
That's right.
Think big. I would take the camera, and I got my own camera.
Guess what, young man? You're ready to go ass to ass on your own.
Oh my goodness! Well, you know, I hope they take our advice if they're watching or
whatever. Yes, please do.
Please take our advice. So that is our show for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Bye, everyone. Have a good night and stay safe. Bye.